I am starting a new series today called Join God's Dream Team. In 1992, there was a team that's still called the Dream Team. It was the 92 Olympic basketball team, and they dominated, it was in Barcelona, Spain, and the 92, how many of you remember the 92 team, the Dream Team? It dominated every team they played by an average of 44 points. They beat every team they played by an average of 44 points. Of course, that team consisted of some of the greatest of the NBA stars that there were: Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone, Scottie Pippen, Chris Mullin, Clyde Drexler, and John Stockton, just to name a few of them. And they were called the Dream Team, are still called the Dream Team. It was the greatest assimilation of basketball players that there's ever been. And that happened in the natural. Man put that together. But God is putting together His Dream Team. God's dream team is called the church. The church. Matthew 16:18. And I also say unto you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. See, the church is God's dream team. Now, as we talk about this, let us realize that we are talking about the ecclesia, which is the called out ones, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we talk about the local church. Now, the ecclesia are the called out ones, the church of Jesus Christ, and the local church are all made up the same way. Now, first of all, let's look at the biblical references of what a church is, okay? Now, the church is compared to a family. There is one family of God, but many members. Now, let's go to Ephesians 3. I'll give you a chance to turn there. I jump too fast on the other one. I forget sometimes and go too quick. All right, Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The church is there. So the church here is, I bow my knee from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is formed. Now the church is compared to the human body. One body, many members. 1 Corinthians 12. Now we're going to do a lot. Get your thumbs ready, because we're going to do a lot of thumbing and a lot of scriptures today. Okay. We're talking about the church. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole hearing were, where would the smelling be? But now God has set the members, each one in the body, that's the church, just as He pleased. Now, and it's also talking about the human body there. Now the church is compared to the husband and wife. Now let's go to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. And I could go several directions from this scripture, but I'll just go one direction. Now, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands. Husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. See, there's a preaching right there. All right, then. And that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So the husband ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning the Christ and the church. Now, here, once again, we see the church is compared to stones that make up a building. Look at 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter 2:5. 1 Peter 2:5. You also, as lively stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, we are talking about the church. We're talking about the church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ecclesia that we're all members of, but we're also going to talk about the local church. There are many, many local churches that make up the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in each local church, there are individuals that make up the local church. So we come from the individuals that make up the local church. Now we have the local church. Now the local church is part of the ecclesia, the called out ones, or the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it is called. So now, as members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are things that we do. But as members of the local church, there are things that we should do. They all come together, okay? Now, the four pictures that I laid out of the church are family, human body, husband and wife, stones in a building, showing that God has designed each of us as part of the team. These four pictures represent teamwork. You know, nothing is accomplished with just one stone, unless you want to hit somebody with it. But when you bring a bunch of them together and begin to put them together and they work together, they build a wall, they build a fence, whatever. Okay? And it is sure, how many are married in this place today? Now, keep your hands up. How many of you have found out that it takes both of you working together or nothing gets accomplished in the family? Oh, I see the hands still up because that's the way it works, okay? It works that way. So this shows that there are different people doing different things in the church, yet they're coming together, working together. Each local church member has to do their part to fulfill the Great Commission given to us by Jesus Christ. Of course, Matthew 20, let's go to Matthew 28, 18. Matthew 28, 18. Matthew 28, 18. I gauge by, I watch the people on the front. If they're still hunting, I wait a minute. But as soon as I see the people on the front, so that's how I gauge when I start. All right. Looks like front row's ready. Here we go. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, so be it, or amen. Now, these scriptures are what we call the Great Commission. Now, what, if you look up the term commission, One of the definitions is a group of persons directed to perform some duty. A group of persons. You know, one person can do a mission, but it takes more than one person to fulfill a commission. This shows that Christ intended for each of us to be involved and working together in some way with each other. Now, the early church began as a team of believers with each one doing their part. You can read that if you read in Acts. Now, let's see here how the first church was established. Jesus told his disciples to go, you know, and be in one place and wait for the promise of the Spirit to come. Now, we can go to Acts 1 on that. You can go to Acts 1. We're establishing the premise of a church. Now, here it is. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. Now, these instructions was given to them. He told them what to do. And this is where the first church was established. The other scriptures that we went through was to establish here that what a church is supposed to be like. Now we're going to talk about how the first church was established. And go then from there, they were doing what he told them to do. Go to Acts 1, 12 through 14, we're going to read. Acts 1, 12 through 14. So you can just stay there in Acts because we're going to do a little flipping here of the pages. Acts 1, 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, there they are. Jesus told them to go back and to wait in the city of Jerusalem until the promise came. So, they went back. There they are, doing what he said to do, waiting there. Now, let's go to chapter 2. Let's go to chapter 2. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, take note of that, and one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, here they are. They have seen Jesus ascend into heaven. He told them what to do. They went back there. They're in Jerusalem. They're in the upper room. They're praying. They're doing what they were told. And the Holy Spirit comes and falls upon them. And after they received the Holy Spirit, they went out, and Peter began to preach to them. And you can read the whole message, but then there, and if you read on down the whole thing. But now let's drop down in that second chapter to verse 38. Okay. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what had happened when he had preached this message, their hearts were convicted, and they said what we must do to be saved. And here, Peter gives them the answer in Acts 38 here. Now we go on down and read 39, for the promises to you and your children, all those who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received the word baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. There is the start of the first local church becoming a part of the ecclesia, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, right there. Now we focus on the day of Pentecost when we read these scriptures, and well, we should be. But I want you to notice what the disciples did to cause all of this to come to pass. To cause 3,000 people to come. Now, wouldn't that, man, it'd be great to start a church with 3,000 people, wouldn't it? That's how the early church started. Now, let's look at some things that they had to do in order for the early church to be started. The disciples had to be together. He told them to go back in to Jerusalem and wait until the power came. Together. They were together. Because I want you to notice, it says there that they were all in one place, in one accord. That means they were together. All on the same, we might say it, all on the same page, okay? Now, they were praying. See, the disciples, they were praying together. Now, see, these are what a local church does if they're going to accomplish. They got to be together. They can't be splintered out here and everybody, this is my deal, this is what I, no, they got to be together. And they need to pray. And then they were in unity with one another. They were in unity. And they worked together. It's when the church works together as a team that the Spirit of God can move most effectively. When everybody gets on the same page is when he moves most effectively. I didn't say he didn't move any other time. I said most effectively. Okay? When every person is doing their part, then God will do his part. When each one is doing their part, then God will do his part. A team. The church is a team. In a team, there are really no big I's or little U's. That's why when you're part of a team, you can't get the big head and think that you're the only thing going. You know, how many of you guys play football? Yeah. And how many of you were linemen? You had to down in the trenches blocking. Let me see. All right. But you hardly ever get any recognition. But the quarterback and the wide receiver and the running back, they're the ones, their names is called all the time. They want to get all the recognition. And sometimes some of those guys get the big head. We had one like that one time. So we all got together. The quarterback called his number, and whenever he handed the ball off to him, we all laid down. Didn't do nothing, just laid down. Guess what? They knocked the fire out of him. We come back to huddle and we said, hey, now we realize we need you. You're good. But listen, without us, you can't do nothing. Hello? See, it's working together that the Spirit of God works more effectively. Okay? Now, the important part is that every one of us has to become a part of God's dream team, the church, and get involved. How many of you want to be a part of God's dream team? Thank the Lord for half of this crowd that raised their hand. You have to get involved. You have to get involved. Now, look at Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16. Ephesians 4:16. Anybody understanding what I'm talking about this morning? Anybody getting anything? All right. Now, Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now let's read that in the New Living Translation. Give us a little better understanding. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together, and each part in his own special way helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Notice that this, we have many members in the church, but they work together. God's design of a dream team is people becoming born again and then working together to fulfill the Great Commission to reach others with the message of Christ. The church is God's dream team. We are created to go out and to work together and have a place that people can come to and know that they can be helped. Hello? But even though a group of coaches put together a dream team, even though they gave them information, give them plays, and so forth and so on, they can't play the game. They're here. The guys on the court, that dream team, they had to play together. Now, I want to tell you something. On that dream team, they were all all-stars. I mean, they were the best of the best. And Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were rivals. They played on opposite teams. All those guys, most of them played on opposite teams. But when they came together, they played together as a team. I want you to notice that, and I know this because I heard them interviewing them and I listened to it. They were talking to Larry and Magic and about the fact that, hey, you were passing the ball to one another. You were passing the ball off. They said, that's what a team does. We work together. It's not how many points I can score. It's how many points the team can score. Hello. And the staff, you that are workers in the church, we all have to work together. We all have our jobs to do. And when everybody does what he was supposed to do, the dream team, the church, accomplishes what it's supposed to do. How many of you are with me today? Everybody sitting here, you all have certain giftings. You all have certain talents. And that you can bring to the team and help the team fulfill the Great Commission. Come on now. You see, on God's dream team, there are no big I's and little U's. It's everybody working together. Now, some people may have a more important job. Some people may get their name recognized. But I want to tell you what, all of us have to work together. It's just like, I mean, we had a great, successful harvest carnival. But it wouldn't have happened without a lot of people working together. How many of you came in your car and parked your car? Let me see your hand. What kind of chaos would there have been if there hadn't been a traffic team out there? I mean, come on, would it have been a mess? Because people were going out trying to turn every direction. People were walking. And it was raining. So we had the shuttle buses out to help as much as we can. And then, the guys running the shuttle buses can't direct traffic. The guys directing traffic can't go inside and run the games. How many of you got any hot dogs or hamburgers or any of that kind of stuff when you were there? Let me see your hand. See, the guys running the booths and all the games for the kids, they can't go back there and cook the food and serve people. You see, it's all everybody working together. And that's the dream team, working together. That's what I want to see in Rhema Bible Church. I want us to be the greatest dream team that anybody has ever seen. I want everybody to be looking at Rhema Bible Church, hello, as a pattern. I'm going to tell you what, it's time that we that are full of the Holy Spirit stood up and began. All these other places that not even speaking with tongues are all getting recognized. We need to stand up and be strong and be the dream team that God wants us to be and present the Word of God with the power of God, with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. God's dream team has the Holy Spirit. In fact, the dream team, the church, didn't start until the Holy Spirit came. Come on now. You know, all of you know that I've been in this for a long time. I grew up in it. I was born in it. Then I got saved myself, and I've been ministering for 58 years my own self. I've seen a lot of people confess the Lord as Savior. Come and get saved. But they never get involved in the local church. They never become a part of the dream team. And I see them gradually fall away. Get into error. I watch the devil take advantage of him. Let me tell you what. There's nothing more important for a born again, spirit-filled Christian than to become a part of the dream team, the church, and be involved. If you are, then you will live a successful Christian life. Because you are there. You see, we supply one another. We fire one another up. You know, you watch a game. And one mistake will cause a team to get, you can see it. You can see it in their posture. Somebody make a great play and it causes the other team to jump up and come back and win the thing. Hello? It just happens that way. You know, a team can be behind. They can score a touchdown and then somebody, some way, somehow, they get that onside kick. You see that it inspires that team. They go down and score and win the game. It's because, see, some people are not fast enough to run down there and recover that onside kick. You don't put the slow guys out there if you're going to do an onside kick. You put the guys out there that's gifted with some speed and with good hands. Come on. You see, every one of us have our gifts. But if you got speed, it's just like they say, you can't coach speed. You can coach talent, but you can't coach speed. You're either fast or you're not fast. Hello. Thank God I happen to be one of those guys that was fast. You know, and you have opportunities that other guys don't have. But my opportunity with my speed does me no good if I don't have that big old boy down there in the trenches blocking for me. I don't care how much speed I got, I'm not going to run very far if I hadn't got anybody blocking for me. Hello? So what I want us to get across is the dream team that I'm talking about is God's church, His ecclesia church, but more specifically, I'm dealing with the local church. Say it with me. I can be a part of the dream team. Rhema Bible Church. Now, how do you join this team? You know, you try out for teams. Man, I don't know how they do it nowadays. I'm not in school. But how many of you guys were in school when you go try out for the team and then they're going to post it on a certain day, everybody made the team, and they post it out by the gym door and they put it there. How many of you remember that? Oh, and you're almost afraid to go look. Anybody remember that? Well, the way you get in this team is that you make Christ your Savior. That gets you on the team. Hello. Secondly, you start building relationships. Once you're on God's dream team, you have to fellowship together. And how do we do that around here? School of the Bible, link teams, and so forth, getting involved. You know, when you first come and you become a part of a new team, and maybe some of the guys have been there a while, first thing you got to do is build some relationship with those guys, some camaraderie. Hello. Now, thirdly, get involved. Help others to join the dream team. You know, I was listening on the sports talk deal, and they were interviewing a guy that he's a young rookie coming up, and this guy that's in front of him knows that in a year or so, this guy's going to take his place. And they said, doesn't it bother you? We see you out instructing him. We see you giving him pointers, telling him what to do. He said, no, he's a part of the team. And I know that my time is coming to an end, and I got to help him get involved. I'll stay involved then after that. I'll stay involved with the team by continuing to help others get involved. Hello. So that, help others get involved. We need to continually be helping others to get involved. The dream team, God's church. Are you going to be a part of it, or are you going to sit on a bench? It's no fun sitting on a bench. I've been there. I got off. It's no fun to sit on a bench with the rain coming down or the snow coming down. It's no fun to sit on a bench and just sit there. The fun part is being out on the field playing. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Man, if it's cold and wet and it's freezing and you're out there and you don't want to come out again, because if you do, you're standing there and you start getting cold and your jersey starts to freeze on your back. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I got a few hands. Hey, get involved, okay? You get on the team by being born again. You build relationships by being involved with all of the activities that's going on in the church. And then you stay on the team by helping others to get involved with the team. Today here, there's some of you that have been frustrated. You're about to give up. Hey, don't give up. Get involved. God will help you if you will get involved with His team. He's interested in those that want to be involved with His team. And it's up to you whether you get involved on this team or not. It's your choice. You can be a part of the team or you can sit on the bench and dry up and lose your spirituality. But I would suggest that everybody get involved with the team. Did you get anything out of this first session this morning? Now, it's just the first session. Joining God's dream cream. And we'll get into the, we got three more sessions on this, okay? So come believing, come expecting to get involved. Hey, it's time for us to get involved by taking communion. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" Today, as we've talked about the church being God's dream team, as they come now to prepare to serve us the communion, let each of us look at our own hearts, look at our own lives, and help us to say, "Lord, help me to fulfill my part as I thank you for my salvation." That's what the cup represents. The bread represents healing. As they come now and receive these emblems to pass to you, you are welcome to receive communion with us if you know that you're a part of the team. What I mean by that, you know you're born again. We believe in open communion. We also partake communion as a family, spiritually and naturally. If you're not sitting with your natural family, would you please move and sit there right now with your natural family? As they pass these emblems out, would you please hold them until all of us are served and we'll partake together? While they're passing the emblems out, they will be singing. I want you to be singing and worshiping God and thanking him that you're a part of the team and what he has done for you.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so
Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he spilled his blood on Calvary for our salvation. He took the stripes upon his back for our physical healing. We thank you for that today, Lord. Without that, where would we be? And we honor you. We thank you for our salvation, for our healing. Break and eat. If you need healing, say, I take healing. Shall we drink together? Let each one in his own way for just a moment. Thank your Lord and your God for what he's done for you. Thank you, Father. I thank you for everything you've done for us. Father, we were nothing. You made us something. Thank you, oh Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. I thank you. Give you praise and glory. Shall we stand and sing?
Because he lives.